The Tower of Babel story is like so many stories in the Bible. It's almost endless in meaning. But let's try to draw out a little meaning in the context of Pentecost. So these people want to create a city with a tall tower to make a name for themselves. Otherwise, they say to each other, we will be scattered throughout the earth. So God confuses their language so they can't complete the project and they get scattered throughout the earth. And not only do they get scattered in geographical ways, but they get scattered in language ways. One of the things that's being said there is God isn't as uncomfortable with diversity as we are. You know, we try to fix things. We try to control things so that we're all going to be the same. We're all going to think the same. We're all going to speak the same. All about the same project, living in the same walls. But God doesn't seem to have that project. So we have different races, different languages. The creation, God's creation, is so diverse that we have not been able to name all of the different species. It's just diversity is the name of the game. And God seems to glory in that. And in fact, there's diversity within God. Father, Son, and Spirit, three distinct people, persons, and yet so unified that they are one God. God knows how to make unity within diversity. And that's our project then too. By the power of grace, we are supposed to become one people despite our distinctions. And so the gospel for tomorrow, you know, there are a whole bunch of readings available to us for the vigil tonight and then the gospel tomorrow. But the gospel, the last reading of the whole weekend, is the story of Pentecost, where Peter and the other disciples speak one language, and yet all of those different people from all different parts of the world hear them in their own language, and they understand everything they're saying. So it's a kind of a bookends from sin that is uncomfortable with diversity and doesn't know how to handle it and doesn't know how to trust in God to work it, all the way to the power of the Spirit so that they just live in trust and they just start speaking and it's understood. And nobody fixes anything, only the Spirit fixes it. And the Spirit fixes it in a way that nobody understands, because these people say to each other, aren't we from all these different places? How come we're all understanding what they're saying? It isn't necessarily for us to know, and it's certainly not for us to control. God is working the miracle of grace, whether we know it or not, whether we're working with God or not, whether we're cooperating with the grace or not. God's will is more powerful than our sin. God's unity is more powerful than our diversity. We're ending now, or we're completing, the 90-day Paschal season. 40 days of Lent and 50 days of Easter. And the preface for today says that it brings the Paschal season to its completion. But it does not mean its end. Completion in the biblical sense, completion in the sense of Christ completing revelation, completing the law and the prophets, doesn't mean bringing it to an end. It means beginning it. Unfolding it so that now it has the meaning that was always there, but people didn't see it. Unfolding the possibilities that were always there, but we didn't trust, we didn't have the ability, we didn't have the Spirit to inspire us to run with it. And so, like so many things in the liturgy and in our spiritual lives, it's always about beginnings. It is never about ends. Because we believe that life is never going to end. God is infinite. And God is offering us a share in God's own life. And so we'll have no end. there is no end, only beginnings. And so in that reading from Romans, St. Paul talks about the whole of creation is in labor pains. Labor pains is about birth. It's not about death. It's about birth. It's about beginning. And so we too, with all of creation, are groaning in agony because we just can't wait until we are born. The birth of the church in the Spirit, the birth of the new creation of grace, this is what we're all about. This is what we're living in hope for. And so we say often here, yes, sometime in the distant future, we know not when, all of this is going to be fulfilled and it's going to be visible, it's going to be obvious, we're going to understand it, we're going to be living it fully. However, in some kind of seed form, it's already here. And so we live in the hope of what we expect one day to be fulfilled, but we're already immersing ourselves in the mystery now. We're already living in hope. We're trusting that the promise of the Lord is going to be fulfilled in us.